welcome back to the Oklahoma Today podcast, bringing you all the best from the great state of Oklahoma. We asked y'all on Twitter about a city or town you want to know more about and got a wealth of answers. So this week we're coming to you via a series of ones and zeros from lovely Anadarko, where we are talking with city manager Kenneth Korn. But first, a word from our sponsor. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. You know, Nate, I was at Homeland last weekend and ran into Sue Ann from Sue Ann's Jellies.
She was out there. MIO people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
okay.
she's got a whole new line now. She's doing recipes for mocktails using her different jams and jellies. And so I'm super excited. I think we might try and do a little something. Heck, maybe we can get Sue Ann on to talk about some of her stuff.
Very least, it's a good reason to get on MIOcoalition.com.
Indeed. I'm Greg Elwell, your web editor, and I'm here with Nathan Gunner, our editor-in-chief.
Hi.
As well as Kenneth Korn, city manager of Anadarko. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to spend some time with you today.
Absolutely. So, couple of fast facts about Anadarko. This is the county seat of Caddo County, is that right?
That is correct.
All right, and what's the population here?
The population is around 6,700 in the city, and also we are the home of 7 tribal nations. We have more tribal nations located here in Anadarko than any other place in the country.
Oh, that's awesome.
Huh.
Yeah. So
that's a cool record to have.
In fact, we like to refer to ourselves as the Indian capital of the nation.
That's great.
Yeah. How's that reflected in the population? Is it a majority Native American heritage? Or?
Actually, it is. It's about 47% Native American. It's about 46% Caucasian. And then the rest of it is spread between African American and Latino. So definitely this is a minority community with Native Americans leading the charge in that area.
That's really great. What one thing that I was noticing, both on your website and when we came into town, are the bison. Bison are everywhere, and that's kind of the symbol you guys have adopted, right?
That is something we adopted. When I came here as city manager, there wasn't really much around town that really expressed the heritage of our area. Previous administrations had decided to move away from the Native American culture as an identity for the community, but that is the identity of the community. The makeup of the community is Native American. The culture here is Native American. The history is Native American. So we've now gone back to the Indian nation, our capital of the nation, and one of the things we wanted to do was some artwork throughout the community, and what best represented the Native American community was the buffalo. So what you'll see around town are statues that were purchased by local businesses and organizations. Many of them have been landscaped, and you'll see a plaque on most of them that tells you who paid for them. And then we had the silhouettes cut out of the herds. You see the ones as you come into town at the east by the Hall of Fame of Famous American Indians, and then we have a herd out by Walmart when you come into town.
Yeah.
So, and actually, it's kind of funny. We actually have some people who count the herd every morning when they come into town to make sure they're all still there.
How many are there, just so we'll know?
Across the town, there's 33 bisons throughout the town,
wow,
including the cutouts.
Okay.
You know, even downtown, you'll see big statues of adult bison, but then downtown, there's 2 babies by the library. So.
Okay. And there's this one on the, you can't see it, listeners, but there's actually one on the table here in front of us.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, we ended up buying so many that the manufacturer sent this to us as an appreciation gift.
That's great.
But when you're talking to people who have not been to Anadarko or people who are looking at bringing a business or a family here, what is your main selling point? What's the thing that you want people to most know about Anadarko?
Well, the thing I want to know about Anadarko, it is a community that is making progress. And we are looking to do things that improves the quality of life, to increase the infrastructure needs that if you wanted to locate a company here. And that we really have adopted a new attitude is that there are issues we know we need to address and we're going to address them. And as you'll see as you go throughout town, things have changed dramatically. Downtown's been totally redone as far as lighting. It has decorative lighting all downtown now that matches. There's been a pocket park put in downtown in an old abandoned lot that was put in. You see planters out. You see the buffalo throughout town. We have done improvements to our electrical system that includes all new LED lighting in the city. So there have just been lots of things that have happened in the last 5 years that have moved us from a community that was in a decline to a community that is being progressive. And we continue to try to do those things. And then I think they'll find if they come here that there's lots to see and do. And, you know, you got the Wichitas have their museum here. We have the Hall of Fame of Famous American Indians located here. The Southern Plains Indian Museum. Mm-hmm. The city has a pretty unique museum itself that has a lot of frontier items in it, but has a ton of Native American items in it. Some of it's even better than what you see in the Smithsonian. And then that doesn't include what we have in our parks. You know, we have two main parks here. You know, down in Randlett Park, we have peacocks down there that gets visitors all the time. And that's something that the community decided, hey, we want to do something different in our park. So they sent us, people sent us money to buy peacocks. And so we started off with four. Now I think we've got about 12 down there.
Wow.
When you're talking about some of the changes that you've made, it's always fascinating to me because there are structural and infrastructural improvements that can be made that may be sort of behind the scenes stuff that people don't necessarily recognize. But when a city is investing in those sorts of things, I feel like you get that back from homeowners and from business owners. They see the city's putting in the time and the money and the effort, and it makes them want to reciprocate. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's really, I always think when I'm looking at our smaller cities in Oklahoma, that's really what we need is buy-in. Is we need more people who are into it.
Absolutely, we have a lot of business owners that'll tell us in town that they're proud to see things happening, and because of that, they've been making investments in things that we want to do as projects in Anadarko. For instance, we want to do all new LED lights for our Christmas display. And the business owner said, I'm going to give you $1,000 for it because I like the fact that you're doing something that's not been done here in a long time. And so we've had a lot more buy-in. They've helped sponsor some of the banners you see hanging up in town now.
Wow.
Which, when I got here, they quit doing those types of things. And so there have been lots of things that we've been able to get started again because they see that the city's making an effort. And I'll just tell you, you know, we're doing things like I'm replacing the main lift station. This is stuff people, it goes in the ground, you don't see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We put in new backwash lagoons. We're trying to replace water lines. We're starting to do some of the storm drainage that has been issues here for years and years. And, you know, none of that is sexy. You know, I'm a former legislator and politician, so, you know, we all want to stand in front of something and have the ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
It's always a lot more fun to do in front of parks and, you know, new community centers. It's not as fun to stand in front of a lift station or a sewer plant or those types of things. But we're making the investment to make our infrastructure reliable so your homes, you don't have issues at your homes. And then we've taken it a step further is we started enforcing city code here again. Now, you'll actually hear a lot of people complain about it because we're making people clean up their yards.
Sure.
We're making people get rid of the trash that they got. And then you'll also see we're starting to enforce making people tear down these old structures that are dilapidated.
Yeah.
And it's been a slow process, but we're making progress on it. And I think we've tore down somewhere 20 to 30 homes. We have more scheduled to be torn down. Some are being torn down by individuals. And that's what we've actually found is as we've taken enforcement action and tore down stuff, we've had other property owners go ahead and clean theirs up. Or as we've sent them notice that they need to do something, they've been doing it rather than the city having to take the enforcement action.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that all kind of comes back to this idea of a proactive city government that is really, that, you know, There are different ways to run a community, and one of them is to just sort of sit back and let things progress. And then, you know, I feel like that, though, has been a real problem with some of our smaller towns and cities across the state is that there's this laissez-faire attitude. And then You know, and then you start seeing these dilapidated structures. And if you're on your main street, it doesn't really matter how many nice homes or nice businesses. If you're driving past someplace that you're like, you know, well, there's nothing going in there. I wouldn't want to go there. And yeah, I wouldn't even want to park there, you know, that sort of thing.
And that's really part of one of the things I'm trying to condition people in this community to understand is that if your community doesn't look nice, if your community doesn't feel safe,
mm-hmm.
if people don't think there is progress taking place, the likelihood of recruiting a company to come here is very slim.
Mm-hmm.
Even recruiting doctors to our hospital here has been an issue because they drive into town. Well, you drive in Central up toward the hospital, that doesn't look too bad. It's pretty clean, and we got the parks, and the boulevard's always mowed, and trees are trimmed. But then you start getting off into neighborhoods, and then there's been problems in these neighborhoods. Well, if you're a doctor and you're coming here and you bring your family, they just don't drive the main streets. They get off the side and on the side streets. And
yeah.
if it looks unsafe or not clean,
yeah.
it becomes a problem to recruit people here. And so we've had lots of people complain, why is the city manager and the city council spending money on landscaping? Why are they spending money on cleaning up stuff? Why are they forcing people to do this? It's all part of our effort to try to get people decide they want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll do that, the city will grow. And then the other thing I think people miss the point of is that Anadarko, for a long time, has had a negative image.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to reverse that image that is out there. And sometimes we're victims of ourselves, and that we say things and do things that are not helpful for our community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like if you come to town and you ask somebody, what's there to do here? Well, the answer is, there's nothing to do here. And that's what you get sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, in reality, there's lots to do here.
I was
going
to say, there's a ton to do here.
And particularly if you want to see Native American culture, Anadarko is the place to come because
Absolutely.
We have lots of things to offer in that
yeah.
area. And one of the things I'm trying to talk with the Lawton Chamber is, you know, this would be a great day trip partnering with Lawton. If they want to see Native American history and how the military was involved with that, you'd come spend the day in Anadarko and learn about the tribal heritage of the Southern Plains Indians. And then when you finish here, you go spend the night in Lawton, and then you continue that story about how Fort Sill plays in to the history and why it's, things are the way they are now and how these tribes have survived. And it's just a perfect marriage. And so we're trying to find a way how we can do that together to really draw people who are interested in that part. And I'll tell you, Native American culture is something that we take for granted in Oklahoma because we live among it. But if you're outside of Oklahoma, first thing people ask you about is Native American.
That's true. Yeah.
If in other countries, they want to come see the Native American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people have a preconceived notion of what Native America is about. And I think Hollywood has contributed to a lot of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Not all Native Americans live in teepees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them live in grass houses. Some of them actually live in homes, log
yeah.
homes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to learn and to experience if you want to.
Yeah,
absolutely. What are some of your favorite places to eat in town? What are your go tos here?
Well, the Soda Fountain Eatery downtown is a great place to go eat. They have a great business down there, and you can get salad or great sandwiches, or they usually have specials every day that are usually some kind of casserole type thing. They're pretty good, and the dessert is really excellent down there. Joe's Burgers got great steak, great hamburger in town. There's also, believe it or not, the casino just north of town, Gold River. I go up there a lot. They do a pretty good steak up there, too.
Okay.
So there's plenty of places to eat in Anadarko. And Munoz downtown, it's a Mexican food restaurant. They have really good food, and they're always happy to have people in there, too. So there's a mixture of things that you can go have here. Of course, we have our other, you know, fast food that everybody else
sure,
has, but
yeah.
it's that local homegrown stuff that you get that's really good.
Yeah,
really
those
bad.
Are always the satisfying ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and we just put out our food issue, which we do every year, and includes a feature called Food Worth the Drive. So we're going to try a couple of places
yeah.
today, and hopefully we'll find something
Soda
new
Fountain,
to add to the list.
Yeah, Soda
yeah.
Fountain Eatery's actually been on that
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
So,
well you,
yeah.
you need to go down there and have the chocolate delight while you're in town. So
that's what I hear. That's what I hear. Yeah, I actually went back and read that story before we That's where we came. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. If people want to learn more about Anadarko, what is their website? What should people?
Sure, I can give you several websites. There's the cityofanadarko.org. There's the American HOF.com, and then darkodowntown.org too.
Oh, that's
so
great.
They'll be able to get several places they can find information on our city.
Well, thank you much for taking the time with us.
We should say we're going to do an Anadarko giveaway.
Yes, yes. And one other thing, a little bonus for our weekly trivia folks. The answer for this week's trivia question, which will change tomorrow, is Anadarko, because the town was named for the Nautico tribe. Is that the part of the Caddo?
Nadarko.
Nadarko.
Okay.
And it was a clerical error that added the A to the name, and that's how it became Anadarko, and it just sort of stuck. That stuff, I'm always fascinated by how cities get their names, and especially this one where it's just like someone mistyped something, and it's like, well, and that's what it is for 100 years. All right, March 3rd in Tulsa, the extremely cool cast at Circle Cinema will be screening Anne Frank Parallel Stories, a documentary that retells Anne Frank's tragic tale and follows the lives of five Holocaust survivors who lived through similar events. I watched the trailer and it had me in tears, honestly. So take some tissue and take in this powerful and relevant documentary. Tickets are $15. Visit circlecinema.org for more.
March 4th in Edmond, Vladimir Landay and the Siberian State Symphony Orchestra come to the Armstrong Auditorium for one night only. They've earned a reputation as one of the best Russian orchestras, so this will be a night you won't soon forget. Tickets are $45 to $97. Visit armstrongauditorium.org for more. And that place is gorgeous.
It really is. March 5th through 8th in Stillwater is the Red Dirt Film Festival, with over 100 submissions ranging from shorts and music videos to features and documentaries. Film buffs are sure to find something they enjoy. Use the straw trick to make sure your popcorn is fully saturated with fake butter and have a seat for the show. Tickets are $15 to $60 at reddirtfilm.com.
You're going to have to teach me that straw trick later. March 6th at the Bricktown Event Center in Oklahoma City, get ready for a 1920s-themed celebration that is no yolk. As the Oklahoma City Museum of Art's 36th annual omelet party cracks open for another year. Scramble in for brunch-inspired bites from 15 local restaurants, poach a piece from one of more than 50 local artists, and get pickled at the open bar. Did we go overboard on egg puns? Dude.
Oh, it gets worse.
You're killing me with the dad jokes. Only time shall tell. Aww. Tickets are $80 to $125. Visit OKCMOA.com for more.
I made you say
that. Dead.
Looking for an excuse to dress in obnoxious amounts of green and run with friends and family? Then come down to Bartlesville on March 7th for the Shamrock the Ville, a St. Patrick's Day-themed 5K run. Stay and enjoy the couch races, in which teams will place wheels on couches and compete for a litany of prizes. Couch potatoes and fitness freaks alike won't want to miss this one. Tickets and race registration at shamrocktheville.com.
You know, I ran in that race one time.
Did you?
Yeah, and some, like, 8-year-old girls beat me across the finish line in tutus. I was training for a half marathon, and I got beaten by, like, 8-year-old girls in tutus. You might need a Yeti full of coffee for Stillwell's annual Bigfoot Symposium, March 7th and 8th. Cryptozoological researchers and experts, including Robert Laughsquatch Swain and Randy Rebelistic Savig, will be on hand, along with a kid's corner for children to learn about the hidden, misunderstood animal. Are we calling Bigfoot an animal now? Okay. Visit facebook.com/Oklahoma Bigfoot Symposium for more info.
Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single episode. If you wouldn't mind, rate and review us online. It really helps more people find it. Send any questions or comments you have to oktpod@travelok.com, and please visit oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of the magazine. The Fabulous Food issue is out, and you will not want to miss it. I get hungry every time I look at it.
Don't eat the magazine.
It's been a problem. I've had that request to back up. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.